Welcome to the Data Up Podcast. My name is Brian Ward, the creator and host of the Data Up Podcast. I am a coach, Marine Corps veteran, speaker, husband, and you guessed it, a dad. Are you ready to be inspired to be the best dad you can be for your family? This show will provide you with the tips, tools, and strategies to do just that. Are you a dad just going through the motions? Or are you looking to really elevate your dad game to the next level? Truth is, it is a blessing to be a dad. This is a responsibility we must take seriously. In the end, how do you want to be remembered? I hope you want to be remembered as a phenomenal dad. Your legacy starts in the home, not outside the home. If you're really ready to elevate your dad game, then make sure you bang that subscribe button so you don't miss a single episode. Now, let's get started. Dad up. Welcome to another episode of Dad Up, everyone. Thank you guys very much for joining me. I'm excited for the individual that I have on today because he and I have just gotten a chance to get connected, and the stuff that he's doing, not only for his family, but for himself and also for other dads. And so I'm excited to talk about kind of his journey as a father and also his journey in business and what he's been doing as an entrepreneur to help other dads like you. So my good friend, Brian Scuderi, has joined me on Dad Up. Welcome to the show, my friend.
Thanks, Brian. I'm super excited and very honored to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you very much for joining me. And I know you and I got a chance to kind of chat before we started recording. But, you know, for my listeners who don't know much about you, let's kind of go into a back history of Brian and kind of how you grew up and the things you got into, the things you were doing, and what led you to what you're doing now. And then obviously, this is a dad podcast, so I want to know about your daughter as well.
Of course. Jersey boy, grew up, basic family. You know, my dad was a dad. My mom was, you know, the powerhouse that she is. She was killing it over at Horizon Blue Cross Blue Shield, and both of them super hardworking, very loving, very caring. And had a pretty standard childhood from, you know, 1 to 18, graduated high school. I would say the only thing that made me a little bit different was, unlike a lot of my friends, I actually didn't end up going away to school. My parents were very keen on me going to college. My dad didn't graduate high school, so he was like, you got to go to college. My mom had a college degree, and everyone, especially in my hometown, was going away to school, UMass, Penn State, all those different places. And not only did I not go away to college, I didn't even really want to go away to school. It wasn't something that I was excited about because I spent all 4 years in high school caring more about sports and caring more about being a boy, you know, than anything else. And the idea of going away to school and going into a ton of debt because my parents weren't able to front the bill up front just didn't really excite me to go and essentially become a teacher. That was like, I was 16. I was sitting in my guidance counselor's office. She was like, you should be a teacher because you're good at math. And I was like, all right. And it wasn't exactly what I wanted to do. So I did like county school for a couple semesters. And in between my sophomore summer and my junior summer, I got an opportunity to join a sales company. You've probably heard of it, called Cutco.
Yeah, it's a knife company.
Yeah. And so I was 20 years old. A buddy of mine was, you know, talking to me one day at a house party, and he was telling me that he made like $600, which was like a month's pay that I was getting working at ShopRite. And don't get me wrong, like I'm 6'4", so I was a pretty big deal in the grocery clerk industry. Like I reached the top shelf really well. but I was making $7.85, and my average check was like $150 for 30 hours a week. So he told me he made $600 in a week. And I was like, that's crazy. I was like, my friend is rich. Like, what are you doing? And he's like, I sell knives. And I was like, that, you sound like a serial killer. Like, what do you mean you're selling knives? And he basically talked me into it. He was like, just like, bro, you should join. It would be so much fun. Like, I'd love to work with you. And I was like, I got nothing to lose. Like, my job stinks. I might as well just get right, you know, see if I can get an opportunity. Went in, did the interview, got the job. And my first week, I made more money selling Cutco than I had made the entire previous summer. And I was like, all right, quit my job at ShopRite. That same day, it was like my 10th day on the job. And that introduced me to the world of sales, introduced me to the world of entrepreneurialism, self-development, personal development, going to seminars and a bunch of different things. And it was like my whole world blew wide open. I always had this weird fantasy when I was like 16, 17, 18 years old that I would get a chance to like meet a super rich guy who was awesome and wanted to teach me everything, like stuff that you see in the movies. And this was my first opportunity where I had met people that were extremely financially successful. And I had an equatable opportunity because I wasn't held back by needing a college degree or having a level of intelligence. It came down to how hard was I willing to work. And I've always had a very tremendous work ethic. And I love to do difficult things. When I was a freshman in high school, especially, I was like 6'4 and 160 pounds. And I joined the cross country team. And I bombed. Like, I didn't even finish the first race. I quit halfway through. And the coach came over. He's like, hey, have you ever thought about like throwing discus and shot put? And I went and I did that. And I was absolutely terrible at it. There was only like 5 kids on the team. All my friends were playing football and playing soccer. And the sport of throwing shot put, sport of throwing discus was so hard that a lot of people would start and then not get good for a while and then quit. And I would spend for 4 years in high school obsessing in my basement in front of a mirror, like practicing the spin with the shot put. And my junior year, we ended up winning states. And so I took that same mentality and I brought it into sales. And even though I was not good at all my first couple like years, really, by the time that I exited the company 9 years later, we were the number one sales organization. I got promoted to becoming a division manager. I had 10 locations. I was managing over 300 college students during our peak time during the summer period. And we were doing millions and millions of dollars in sales. And so that same mentality from high school, I just brought right into that. Ended up dropping out of college. I figured out like, hey, if I can make more money than I ever would as a teacher without a college degree, why get one? So I did that. And then 2020 hit. I ended up exiting the company about a year before 2020. We'll just call it that. And tried changing around different jobs, tried a different business model, got into real estate, flopped terribly, like terribly, terribly. And then 2020 hit, I was unemployed and I just drained my entire savings account. We ended up getting married. I was one of the blessed ones that only lost a little bit of money from the wedding venue. And, you know, I found myself really stressed out, really anxious, kind of freaked out, didn't really know what was going on. And over the course of my tenure as a sales manager, I had put on 40 pounds. And so not only was I stressed out and like had terrible habits, but every morning I would look in the mirror and I would find myself relatively disappointed. I had everything that anyone would ever want, right? Loving wife, like we had a house, we're doing everything we needed to do. And I was checking all the boxes, but I was kind of miserable. And I was more so miserable with the way that I had let myself go. And so at 40 pounds overweight, my wife snapped a photo of me. She thought it looked like I had funny hair or whatever. And I ended up looking at it and something changed inside of me. I was like, I gotta figure this out. I gotta get my health in order because if I continue on the trend that I'm headed, I'm going to be 50, 60, 80, 100 pounds overweight in no time. I wasn't really working out. I wasn't taking care of myself. And I was just kind of eating whatever I wanted because I had that relationship with food that a lot of guys have when they're athletes where you can, you know, 18, 19, 20 years old, you can eat whatever you want and nothing sticks. Right. And then you turn 30 and you're like, I'm a lot stickier than I used to be. Right. And so I started to try different things. It was like peak keto craze. So I tried that. And then carnivore diet came out. I tried that. I tried being vegan after watching Game Changers on Netflix. I ran the gambit, man. I did Whole30. I even tried Weight Watchers for a little while. I went to Orange Theory classes. I used to hop on the Peloton bike. I used to go to the group fitness classes, HIIT classes. Like I hired personal trainers, but I would kind of just lose the same 20 pounds. And then after about 90 days, when I would give up on whatever craze diet, fad diet, extreme HIIT class, I would just put it back on. And I was constantly searching for like, what is it? Like, why is it that there's guys out there that can look great, have a great business, you know, win with their career, win with their relationships, and also like have a six pack? How do they even do it? And so I started to study. I actually got away from like fitness and nutrition for a little while. And I started to study how the brain really worked. because I look back at my life and I was like, I've learned a ton of different skills. I've learned a ton of different positions in my life where I've had to grow and change my habits, change my communication style. Like, how did I figure that out? Because the way the brain works, the way that we learn, whether it's learning sales or whether it's learning leadership or learning how to interact with our wife, it's also how we learn how to get into great shape. And so I started to look into, like, how does the brain really work? And how do I actually learn how to become that guy that can look great, feel great, have great energy, and then also bring that into my career and bring that into my relationships? And what's funny was it felt slower at first because I just kind of slowed down and started focusing on the micro habits and what I coined as now like adaptive habit chains. But in the long run, it ended up being a lot faster than anything else I'd ever done, because I would lose 30 pounds in 90 days or 20 pounds in 90 days. Then I put it right back on. So after 6 months, I'd be net zero.
Mm-hmm.
Well, after studying adaptive habit chains, really starting to focus on micro habits, 6 months later, I was down 40 pounds. So it seemed slower at first, but in the long run, it was actually twice as fast. And I did that all while changing careers again. I got into tech sales. Then I went back into real estate, and I had all these different outside external environments. We had our first child, Penny, and she's the love of my life. I couldn't imagine a world without her. And I've been able to, ever since, maintain sub 15% body fat. And now I'm just teaching other guys how to do it. So that's kind of like the short story of how Unbreakable Dads kind of came to be.
Well, yes, I think that a lot of dads, especially dads, they hit that comfortable road where they're basically, you know, either living for their career or living for their, you know, their business and doing what they can at home, but not really caring about themselves. And one of the things that I do, you know, in helping dads, I coach a lot of dads myself. And one of the things that I talk about a lot is self-care and really honing in on taking care of yourself first. Because, and I know you know this, but because if you're not taking your care of yourself first, if you're not 100% healthy or not 100% checked in mentally, spiritually, physically, all those areas, you're not going to be able to be 100% for your family, and you're not going to be able to be 100% for your business. So I think there's a direct correlation of how you take care of yourself. It directly correlates to how everything else around you is taken care of. So that's why I'm a firm believer in self-care, even when it comes to our mental health, all the way down from our mental health to, you know, like I said, spiritually, emotionally, physically, all those areas are important. And so I think for you to discover that, and kind of figure out what that is or how to do that successfully is cool. I think it's really cool. And I'd like for you to, before we get into your family side and all that, but I'd like for you to kind of share, you don't have to give all your secrets away if you don't want to, but kind of share a little bit about what it is that you do or how it is that you do what you do, or how you coach other dads to do what they do to be successful in those areas and only use a limited amount of time, because you talk about it. And for those of you that don't know him, you know, he's got in his little bio page, he's got an area where he talks about how he only does a few hours a week of, you know, working on his health, and he's able to stay in good shape. So let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. Well, I live and die by the phrase, right? Like, never ask your people to do something you're not willing to do. So even though I work in the fitness industry, I own my own company and I'm in complete control of my schedule, I still do less than 5 hours a week in the gym, and I diet the exact same way that my clients do, right? Like, I don't ask them to do anything that I wouldn't do myself. And so I can't sit here and preach, hey, I have this really easy way to get in shape, but here I am in great shape spending 20 hours a week in the gym, right? Because that would be on clients. So I spend less than 5 hours a week in the gym in total myself. So how do we do it, right? It comes down to kind of my story, right? Everybody does what I did because I just followed what everyone else did. And what I mean by that is we scroll through Instagram And within 5 minutes, we can see carbs are good, carbs are bad. Meat is good, meat is bad. Oatmeal's good, oatmeal's bad. Vegetables good, vegetables bad. Don't eat this, don't eat that. Seed oils, this, that, and the third. And while there is science behind that, you can find conflicting studies on absolutely everything.
Right.
I can find an equal amount of studies that's proving that the vegan diet is actually not good for you and you should go carnivore, as I could that carnivore is not good for you and you should go vegan. So that winds up leaving people really confused, which is how I was. And what I did was I would go into these extreme diets, or I thought I needed to, based on one decision on an article or a video or something that I had read, to completely 180 my life. I have to completely change everything. I got to go into my kitchen. I got to throw everything out. Or I need to start going to the gym, and not only going to the gym, I also have to start doing an hour of cardio. And I would find myself really, really, really motivated for a week, sometimes 2 or 3 weeks. But after right around like 20 days, 24 days, I would just fall right back into old habits, right? Like when I cut carbs out, within 3 weeks, I was like eating pizza. Right. You know, and it's like, you could say, hey, you're not mentally strong. Okay, I'd argue that I'm actually significantly more mentally strong. I'm just not working in the way that my brain chemistry works. Because human beings, the way the brain works, we're energy misers. And when we have to formulate new habits, you're constantly fighting against your brain. And so if you install a whole new operating system into the computer that is your brain, it just starts to short circuit. And this is why guys yo-yo, just like I did. Say, lose 20 pounds, gain 20 pounds. Lose 40 pounds, gain 40 pounds, right? And so what I started to do, and now what I teach my clients, is installing adaptive habit chains. So we take a look at what they're already doing based on their career, based on like what their day-to-day lifestyle looks like, based on the foods that they already enjoy. And rather than me saying, hey, welcome to Unbreakable Dads, you're now going to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning, here's a PDF template of a diet, and you're never allowed to eat sugar ever again. I just take what they do. I have them monitor it through the first phase. It's called my foundations phase. At the end of that foundations phase, which is only 7 days, I have a one-on-one call with them where we go through everything that they did, right? Like, what does their workouts look like if they are even working out? How many steps are they getting? How many hours of sleep are they getting? How much water are they drinking? Like, I need to know where they're at. Because everybody knows the goal. You live in California, right? Yeah. So if I wanted to drive to you, I could ask you, hey, what's your town? Like, what's your zip code? And I could type that in my GPS. But if my GPS can't figure out where I'm at, then it can't plan a route.
Right.
And so every guy's like, oh, I want a six pack. And they just go into what they think a six pack looks like, but they don't have even cognizant of like how many calories they're eating right now. What do their macros look like? How much hours of sleep are they getting? What are they, in terms of water, how much are they drinking? What does their exercise really look like? And so we do a monitoring session. Then I get on the phone with them through a Zoom call, and I make these small little tweaks. They're seemingly insignificant. In fact, a lot of my clients at the end of that call go, that's it? And I go, yeah, that's it right now. And then we do another check-in call at 21 days and another check-in call at 45 days. And so we start to make these small little tweaks, like making sure we're drinking 20 ounces of water every single time that we eat, right? Going for 5 minute walks, five, right? Just racking up steps. If they have no background in working out and they haven't worked out in 10 years or anything like that, we don't do 45 minute or 60 minute workouts. We do 15 to 25 minute workouts. Because what's the point of working out if you do a leg day and then, you know, you can't right. walk 3 days later, right? You're not going to make it back to the gym. And so we start with small things. And so many of my clients, whether Nick, who owns his own real estate company, or Cody Friend, who's a director of sales for a large tech sales company, sits behind a desk all day long, right? Everyone's plan becomes drastically different. No two Unbreakable Dads plans look exactly the same. Then we move into the accelerate phase. And I start to change the story and start to switch their mindset. Everybody says, I want to lose 30 pounds, I want to lose 50 pounds, I want to lose 100 pounds. What we do is we break that down into a very sustainable route, which is, how do I lose 1 to 2 pounds per week?
Right.
And that becomes a lot more digestible. And not only that, it adds in a little bit of flexibility. I mean, I live in New Jersey, man. Like, you're going to tell me I'm not allowed to eat pizza ever again for the rest of my life? There's no way, right? So we do Pizza Fridays every week in my house for years. It's my daughter's favorite day. So we tack in like, what are the foods you already enjoy using? And like, how do you start to incorporate that? Which then goes into changing their relationship with food. Because we look at foods as good and bad, and I gotta avoid, and then it becomes this guilt cycle, right? Like, oh, if I have three slices of pizza, I feel guilty. I gotta work out extra hard tomorrow. That's how you just end up in this shame cycle that just keeps you in the same habit loop over and over and over again. And so we start to work on the mind as well. And luckily, I spent 10 years developing college students that have no idea what they're doing and turning them into absolute sales professionals. And so I understand how the brain learns. I understand how do we change the belief systems that allow people to take different actions? Because when we change the belief systems, we change their action pattern. When we change their action pattern, they get different results. But it's a very gradual and seamless process. And using adaptive habit chains, by attaching certain new habits to things that you're already doing, so that way it feels seamless and easy, the brain almost doesn't necessarily register that it's accepting new habits. And then you can find yourself 30 days from now, 60 days from now, 180 days from now, living a drastically different lifestyle and not even really realizing it. You're like, oh yeah, this just feels so natural and feels so normal. This is why my clients, when they lose the 20 to 40 to 60 pounds, they don't just lose it and then bounce back. They keep it off. I think about Aaron Baker, one of my favorite clients I've ever worked with. In fact, he's so much one of my favorites that he actually works for me now. He came to me in March of 22. I'm sorry, March of 23. And he texted me and he was just like, dude, I have so much weight. Like, I can't lose it. Like, nothing I ever, like, I work out really hard for a week and then I take 2 weeks off. And he just couldn't figure out how to like install the habits into his life. Well, within 6 months, he was down 58 pounds. We're coming up on a year and he hasn't even slipped a little. He actually looks even better now. We actually reverse dieted out because he got pretty skinny, 6'6". He got all the way down to 213 pounds, which at 6'6", you're a twig at 213. Now he's about 225. He's got muscle. He's got abs. He's riding his mountain bike all the time. Everybody's, like asking him, like, dude, how did you do it? And it's like, it just feels like it's part of my life now. It's just part of who I am. And so that's more so the approach that we do versus templates, extreme diets, never allowed to eat carbs, things like that. Because in America, we have to be honest with ourselves. We have the most abundant options of food out there, and not everything is great for you, but everything in terms of moderation. Like, if I eat two slices of pizza or three slices of pizza once a week for my entire life, that's not going to be the reason that I die suddenly. I think we can all agree. If we have ice cream every now and again, it's not going to be the death of us. And so, how do we incorporate the things that taste good and then also incorporate a style of working out that's actually conducive to our schedule?
I think it's really important. You're talking about these incremental steps. I mean, yes, these extreme diets don't work. Okay. We get a lot of the New Year's resolution guys, right? Starting January 1st, I'm on it. That's it. I'm going gangbusters. And then what happens? You see the gym is full for through January. And then come February 1st, the gym is empty again because everybody went, man, this isn't working. I only lost 2 pounds. This is really not for me. I don't know what the hell's taking so long. I can't deal with this. I have too much on my plate. I'm too busy. I'm not getting enough sleep. Those kind of excuses start to program and convince ourselves that it's okay to just give up. And so, yes, these extreme changes that you try to make are challenging. And unless you're like freaking ultra, ultra disciplined, you're not going to be successful, period. You're just not.
Correct.
And it's important to know that, yeah, moderate everything in moderation, right? Everything in moderation. And making these small incremental changes over time. Let me say it another way. When you say, hey, I want to, this is my always been my goal. I always want to get at least 1%, 1% better every day. 1% is not a lot. That's not a lot. But if you add that up over a year, I mean, you're talking over 300% better than I was a year ago, right? Now you add it up over 2 years or 5 years, holy cow, right? So yeah, in small incremental steps to help us break these habits, reprogram our mind, right? It's almost like, you know, Tony Robbins talks about making the scratches in the record to get rid of that old habit and making a new habit. You're talking about doing that with your fitness, with your health. One of the things that I did last year, I'm really keen on trying to take care of myself mentally and physically. But one of the things that I wanted to do last year for 2023 is I've always been a runner. I've run for 20 years. I'm a big time runner and run marathons and all that kind of stuff. But one of the things I wanted to do last year is I said, you know what? I want to challenge myself because running is great and I enjoy it, but I don't know that it's enough. It's really not driving me enough. And I want to see if I can just throw a little challenge in my life and see if I can accomplish it. And that challenge was I wanted to work out every single day for 2023. Every single day. That's hard. That's hard.
Yeah,
especially when you got a busy schedule and all that kind of stuff, right? And my rule was I had to do at least 15 to 20 minutes of a workout in order for it to count. It could be a walk. It could be 15 minutes of just doing a lot of stretching, working different parts of my body, stretching. It can be yoga. It can be weights. It could be running. It could be biking. It could be hiking. Any of those things counted, but at least it was 15 to 20 minutes. And I wanted to see if I could do it. I'm telling you, it was tough. I'm telling you, there were days when I was like, listen, I have worked out now for 30 freaking straight days. And I just want to sleep. I don't even want to think about working out. But I was so programmed in my head that, hey, this is just, I only have to do 15 minutes. That's all I have to do. Even if I just work on my abs for 15 minutes, I'm good. Even if I just stretch for 15 minutes, I'm good. So I just programmed myself. It's only 15 minutes. That's no time at all. It's only 15 minutes. And a lot of times I ended up working out 30 or 40 minutes, right? But there were several days where I just did 15 to 20 minutes. I go for a walk, for a mile walk, you know, it'd take me about 20 minutes to do a mile walk. And I ended up doing it. I ended up accomplishing that. And then people were asking me, it's so funny because they knew that, you know, I was publicly announcing that I was doing this because I wanted to hold myself accountable, right? I'm going to publicly announce myself so that way people will hold me publicly accountable and then I'll make sure I do it. Otherwise I'll feel like a failure, right? So they're asking me, are you going to maintain it? Are you going to keep going in 2024? Are you going to keep doing it? And I said, hell no, I'm not. I'm not going to do it in 24 because I just wanted to prove myself that I could do it every single day. And even if it was just a little bit, doing it every single day, but I want to take on something else in 2024. I want to do something else physically challenging for my body. And the reason I'm sharing all that is because I do these little challenges to myself that kind of motivate me. And yeah. So the reason that I'm sharing those two stories. So the thing that I'm doing this year is 1,000 miles in 24. So I'm running 1,000 miles in 24, which, you know, it's not a lot. It's a few miles a day, but I've got 4 marathons planned this year. I've already done 2 half marathons. So my goal is to do 1,000 miles in 24. And it's just something to keep me motivated, something to keep me interested. So the reason that I share that is a lot of people, when they go through these little workout regimens, or they try to get into shape, or they try to just go on these super hardcore, lose weight, get in shape, going to get a 6-pack ab in 30 days kind of mentality, there's no motivation there because they're just burning themselves out too fast, too quickly. Mm-hmm. They're just getting over it. And so for dads, taking these small incremental steps are crucial to not only helping you be successful in whatever it is you're trying to do physically for yourself, but also making sure that you're still staying in check with your family and your business, because you're not doing a whole lot, right? You're doing just a few hours a week. And that was kind of my point in doing, you know, 15 to 20 minutes a day of working out. It's like, okay, I can do that and still manage everything else in my life and not feel like I'm overwhelmed, right?
Yeah.
So I think that's really important. I know that was a long-winded way of me just kind of saying I agree with your incremental step approach and just reprogramming your mind, your mindset, that when you hit that 30, 60, 90 day window and you've made just small changes along the way, by the time you hit that 30, 60, 90 day window, you're already like programmed. It's like habit, right? It's already in there.
Right.
It was the same for me last year when I was working out every day. I'd get 60, 90, 120 days in and I'm like, now I feel weird if I don't work out because you know what I mean? Like if I skip this workout today and just go, screw it, I'm just not going to do it. I feel like I missed out. I feel like I failed myself because I'm like, what is missing? So I didn't do something today. I've done that where I woke up in the morning, went about my business and then come home in the evening time. And I'm like, oh crap, I never worked out. That's what's bothering me. That's what's driving me nuts. Now I got to go work out. So anyways, so I'm just, that's me on my soapbox. but
I love the mindset. I love the mentality. And interestingly enough, it kind of coincides with a lot of what we teach in Unbreakable Dads, which is changing the story and understanding the meaning of it, right? We look at working out as like, oh, I have to look a certain way. And while everyone's human beings, we all have egos and we all do consider how we look. If we understand that there's a deeper meaning to working out, right, then it's a lot easier to get ourselves to do those things, right? So you attached a story using social accountability, right? I'm working out every day in 2023. And that created mental leverage against yourself when you did not feel like doing it. You went out and got it done anyway. And so the same thing we utilize in Unbreakable Dads, we do it in three different ways. Number one is through one-on-one accountability, right? Making sure you have somebody monitoring with you. Number two is we start to rewrite the story of what working out actually means. See, working out isn't just this thing that we do because we want to look, you know, externally amazing, which while that's a benefit, that's not why we do it. We do it so that way we can show up better at work. We can show up better in our business. We can show up better for our family. The reason why I get up at 4:30 every morning and go hit the gym, even though I could go in the middle of the day, is because I'm the one who wakes my daughter up. And so if I want to make sure that I'm in the best possible place to receive my 19-month-old when she wakes up, which we all know is a crapshoot, right? Like some days she's stoked to see me. Other days she's like, what the hell is this? Why are you waking me up? And so I need to be at 100% by the time I get home to my daughter. So that way I can give the most to my family. See, we all have like so many guys have this subconscious story that, oh, if I go work out or if I go do this thing, I'm taking away from my family.
Right.
No. You're doing it so you can pour more into your family.
Right.
And then the last way that we leverage the internal story and create more mental leverage is through our community. We have an unparalleled community. I'm extremely strict on who I even let into Unbreakable Dads. I have a very stringent process. It is a legit application process. I turned away over 100 guys last year because I did not think that they were going to be able to contribute at a high level to Unbreakable Dads. And our community is unparalleled. We have a Telegram group chat. That thing is lighting up every day with guys pushing each other, answering questions, accountability posts. Like our community is really what drives our level of success. And, you know, they say you're the product of the five people you spend the most time with, but almost every dad I know that's trying to do this is completely isolated. They don't have people in their corner. They're like the only one that they know that even is taking their health and fitness seriously.
Right.
So then they fall victim to their environment and to their surroundings. So we help by creating a new environment for guys that allows them to thrive and create that mental leverage. So on those mornings, on those days where it's like, oh man, I got to go to the gym too. Like you get yourself to go do it because the brain works in a very interesting way with discipline. And when you leverage external accountability, one-on-one, a right community and changing the story and the meaning of behind the action, it's a hell of a lot easier to be disciplined to do that than I just want abs.
Right. I agree with you. Accountability is a super important. It's one of the things that I'm a big proponent of. That's why, you know, last year when I was doing that, I was publicly announcing every time I got done with a workout, whether it was a picture of me all sweaty or, you know, the picture of the weights or the boxing bag that I just worked out on and what day it was and what number it was. And I put that out on social media on purpose. Wasn't to show off. It was to hold myself accountable. Like, look, if I don't post this, somebody's going to send me a DM and go, you didn't post anything about your, did you work out today? You know, and I had to make sure I was accountable that way. Doing this, this year with my running, I hired a professional running coach. Like he literally is a professional running coach. I hired him specifically to help me with a training program and to put me on pace to where I can maintain and reach the goal that I have. And this is a guy that he doesn't go running with me. He's not local. He's in another state, but he sends me training plans. And then every single time I run, it's automatically logged on my GPS on my phone. It directly goes to him automatically. So when I'm, 5 minutes, 10 minutes done after my run, I'll get a text from him and he'll give me his feedback based on what my pace was and all this kind of stuff. But he gives me a very strict outline of what I do each run. Every single run, it's broken down by mile, what my minute should be, all this kind of stuff. So that's my accountability partner. If I don't run, or if I feel like today was a rest day for me, tomorrow's a run for me. If I get up tomorrow and I'm like, man, I am just not feeling it, I would feel guilty. I'd be like, I'm letting my coach down. I'm literally letting my coach down because he's counting on me to do this run. He mm-hmm. gave me strict instructions to do this run this day, and now I'm not. And I would feel like a failure. So to me, that's my accountability. I have to have it. It's super important. And for dads out there, you're watching this. I know he and Brian and I are talking a lot about accountability and a lot about what Brian's doing to help dads. But if you're a dad and you don't have somebody holding you accountable, I guarantee you your spouse is holding you accountable to the things you do or don't do when it comes to the family. But if you're not holding yourself accountable to your self-care mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, if you're not holding yourself accountable or having somebody hold you accountable to those things, you are going to struggle. I promise you. And I can guarantee you that if you reach out to me on DM or you reach out to Brian on DM and ask questions or say, hey, I need an accountability partner, we will find you one or we will do it ourselves. I promise you that will happen. Okay. So I have one more question for you and then I'm going to let you go because I know you have a busy day and all that. When it comes to our food and diet, a lot of what we hear is that really getting our body in shape is 80% diet, 20% working out. Dads have a hard time with the diet side. So they go, 80% of what I eat is how I'm going to get my six pack ab is really in the kitchen, not in the gym. Right. So mm-hmm. How in the world do I do that? That's a lot. That's a lot for me to take on. So if I'm a dad and I'm coming to you and go, Brian, I know that, the general rule is 80-20, maybe 90-10 in the kitchen and 20 or 10% in the gym. I don't have that kind of money to spend on healthy foods. I don't have that kind of time to spend in the kitchen prepping my own meals. What do I do? How do I make that work? And what's your advice on that?
Yeah. So kind of a multifaceted question there, right? So one of the things I would actually challenge that guy, if you came to me and said that you have no time at all to prep your own food or anything along those lines, then first things first, you don't need to prep 16 meals for the week. You're not a bodybuilder. I don't train bodybuilders, nor do I do that even personally. We have zero Tupperwares in my fridge right now. But what I do teach is making sure that, you have certain things prepared in bulk that take very little time. I have a document called the 1 hour meal prep. And you can basically cook all of your proteins for the entire week, because that's the most important macro, all of your proteins for the entire week in an hour. And you can't tell me you don't have an hour, because if you've watched football even once this year, you have an hour, right? So every guy can do that, no matter how busy they are. And if they can't, then treating your life like a CEO, ask your wife to do it. Easy enough. Or everything that you can eat in terms of like, I don't have time, you can find in the frozen section already pre-made with zero preservatives. So there you go. In terms of not having enough money to eat healthy, I would also challenge that as well. We think that eating healthy is like certain bars, or they come in boxes and it's pre-packaged and like hemp seeds and things like that. My average meal that I make for myself, I've done the math on this, is $3.87. And so the guys that don't have the money to eat healthy food are going out to eat at Chipotle and doing all these other things where they're spending $10 to $15 per meal. I'm doing that at 30% of cost. So it's just simplifying, right? It's realizing that it's not as complicated as we make it out to be. And it also doesn't take up nearly as much time. Now, if you tell me, hey man, I'm the CEO of a Fortune 500 company. I'm up at 4 o'clock in the morning. I don't get home till 10 o'clock at night. My wife hates me. She won't do anything. You know, I'm like, we got different problems, but like you can't have any sort of meal prep. Then what I would do is I call it the diet spectrum. And so on the diet spectrum, on one end, you have total flexibility in what you can eat because as long as it fits your macros, you're fine. And on the other end, you can't track anything. So I'll give you an example. One of my clients just went to Aruba for 9 days. I'm not going to have him like bring a food scale and like sit there with his kids and they're running around like measuring out his macros. There's no way. It's not going to happen. And so while I don't necessarily believe in keto as a lifestyle, I think that there's a strong aspect and a skill set that comes with that. So if I'm on the side where I have total flexibility, right? That's because everything that I eat is measurable and trackable. I can either look at a nutrition label or I can just look, you know, see how much something weighs. And as long as I log into my app and it hits my numbers, like it, you know, I'm running my own business with my body, then I'm good. I can eat it. I had candy yesterday. Cool. It worked. I made it work. It's all good. I eat ice cream like 4 nights a week because I make it work with the numbers and I still look great. Now, when I'm out in Aruba, like one of my clients, right? And I'm at an all-inclusive resort and I'm kind of at effect to whatever food that they have for me, then I'm going to be a little bit more on the restrictive side. So maybe I'm not going to have all the bread in the world or things like that. And so what I teach guys to do is like when you're in situations and you can't track, you're on the go, you're traveling, then two rules. One, if you can find something with the nutrition label on it, there's a golden rule, meaning for every 100 calories that that food is, you want to make sure it has 10 grams of protein in it. So if I go to a gas station, I can look at all the different nutrition labels and I can find things that have 20 grams of protein and they're only 200 calories. Cool. Golden ratio. I can eat that. So it's a little like easy golden rule. If I'm at a restaurant and things like that, maybe I'm going to opt for not eating certain foods like breads and cakes and butter and all that stuff. And I'm going to stick to meat, veggies, and fruit. And so we live in a world where we're constantly in different scenarios, whether we're at a wedding or whether we're on vacation or whether we're at work or whether we're at home. And so you have to learn how to operate in all those different environments. And we teach all of that at Unbreakable Dads. Because if you just operate from a template that you download off bodybuilding.com, or your coach says, hey, eat this amount of macros, but then you wind up in Aruba and they don't teach you any other strategies, that's why guys just completely fall off. And so you have to learn it's not what works, it's what works every day and in every scenario. And that comes with a skill set. And so we teach that skill set in Unbreakable Dads. And I walk guys through, you know, when they go on trips, if they're traveling, I'll walk them through, hey man, if you're at the airport and you got to eat a meal, like this is what I would go grab, right? If you're on the run doing sales calls, you're a traveling salesman, this is what I would grab at the gas station, or this is what you order at Chipotle, or this is what you get, you know, when you go to Jimmy John's and things like that. I also have an on-the-go dad's guide that I give all of my clients, which has every single major chain, the foods that hit golden ratio. So they just pull it up on their phone and they can go to any drive-thru and they can get something that's going to hit their macros. And I've already mapped that out for them. So not only do I give them the skills, but I give them the tools.
That's awesome. That's really cool. Yeah, that's really, really good. I think that's super helpful for especially a lot of dads on the go. It is challenging when you're, you know, having to travel for business meetings or whatnot, and you can't carry, you know, 5 Tupperwares full of meal prep in your suitcase. It's just not going to work.
It's not feasible.
Right. So that's good stuff. Well, let me ask you this. I know I've taken a lot of your time. We've gone longer than I thought we would go, but that's all right. For my listeners, viewers that want to look you up, learn a little bit more about you, maybe even check out Unbreakable Dads, best place for them to do all that stuff.
Yeah. So easiest way to contact me is right on Instagram. I'm the guy that answers all of my own DMs. So you can chat literally directly with me. And one of the things I'll do for the Dad Up podcast, I don't do this on every podcast, but you know, Brian, you spell your name the right way. I'm feeling generous. I don't know what it is. So what you can do is if you go to Instagram.com or you go to my Instagram, it's just at Unbreakable Dads. You'll see me on there. Send me a DM and just say Dad Up. So I know that you're a Dad Up listener, and you can actually, I will give away. This is something my clients pay a lot of money for. I will give away the 1 hour meal prep strategy, and I'll give away the on the go dad's guide directly.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, that's worth a lot of money that my clients spend. And I even have a couple training modules around how to use it. And I'm happy to give that all away for free. All you have to do is just go to Instagram.com, go to Unbreakable Dads, send me a DM, say Dad Up. So I know that you're one of the listeners of this podcast, and I'll send that right over to you.
Oh man, that's awesome. Very, very cool. Well, listen, Brian, thank you very much for being on. Thanks for sharing your wisdom, and thanks for doing what you're doing, not only for dads, but for your family as well. I know that your daughter is the light of your life, and you're doing all this really to make sure you're there in the long run for her. So that way one day you can walk her down the aisle and not worry about whether you'll be there for it or not. So that's awesome what you're doing. And I appreciate getting to meet you, and I'm looking forward to continuing this friendship. So thank you for being on, my friend.
Thanks, Brian. It was a pleasure.
Guys, it's been another episode of Dad Up. Thank you guys very much for joining me. And thank you to my good friend, Brian Scuderi, for being on the show. And make sure you guys are checking out Unbreakable Dads. Like he said, send him a DM with Dad Up, and he'll send you a few little free gifts that you can utilize to help you get yourself on track, or at least to give you some idea of what you need to do to get yourself in a better position to take care of your health. And listen, if you're not yet subscribed to my show, please make sure you do that so you don't miss any of the awesome guests that I have on each and every week. And as always, I look forward to seeing you all in the next episode of Dad Up.
Wow, another amazing episode in the books. So much was shared, and I'm truly grateful my guest was able to pour into you to help you elevate your dad game and really dad up. Make sure you bang that subscribe button so you don't miss a single episode. And while you're here, please don't forget to leave me a rating and a review. I always appreciate the feedback. Also, did you know you can watch the video interview of this episode? You can by simply going to my YouTube channel at Dad Up Podcast. Please don't forget to subscribe to my channel. And one last thing, don't forget, your role as a dad is one of the most important roles you have. So if you need a little help or have questions, don't hesitate to reach out to me on my website at daduptribe.com or at my Instagram page at Dad Up Podcast. Until next time, everyone, Dad Up.